This afternoon, we're reading from the Psalm 82. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This psalm instantly presents us with a problem. What does the psalmist mean by the word gods? God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. Who are the gods whom he is referring to? We know that the Bible teaches that there is only one God. What do we take from this word gods, indicating a plurality of gods? Well, in the first place, there is only one God. There are no other gods but him. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. There is only one God. And if there is only one God, what is meant by the term gods? Well, the verse 2 tells us that these gods are judges. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? So these gods were judges who judged unjustly. They were unjust judges. They were immoral judges. They did not judge according to law. Justice was miscarried in their court. So these gods were in fact judges. Why does the psalmist describe judges as gods? Well, this kind of thing is foreign to our thinking in the Western world in the 21st century. To call men gods doesn't seem to work out. But yet, to the Hebrew mindset, there was nothing wrong with this. This was the way they thought. It was a little bit like in our House of Lords. We call a member of the House of Lords by the name Lord. And yet we know that Christ is the Lord and God is Lord. He is Lord over all. And yet men have this title in the Palace of Westminster, that they are Lord so-and-so. But that doesn't mean that they're rivaling God. It's just a title that has been given to these men, denoting their importance. And this was the way the Hebrews regarded judges. They were doing a very important work, one of the most important tasks in the land. They had to try cases. They had to be arbiters in certain disputes. And in many cases, they represented God because they had a duty to try cases according to God's law. So therefore, they were God's representatives and they were given this title, gods. But unfortunately, these men were ill-deserving of the title because they were judging unjustly. This psalm takes our minds to a greater judge, to the God who judges the judges, the one who is judge of all. And this is what is important about this psalm. We're given a sight of one who ruleth high in the kingdoms of men. You see, how had these judges failed? Well, according to verse 3, they had failed to defend the poor and the fatherless. They had failed to provide justice for the afflicted and needy. In verse 4, they had failed to deliver the poor and needy. They had failed to rid the poor and needy out of the hand of the wicked. In other words, they allowed wickedness to prosper, and they had failed to defend the innocent. And in verse 5, these so-called gods, these judges, they were ignorant. They did not understand. They were walking in darkness. And so that is the picture. And as far as Asaph, the one who wrote this psalm, could see things, there was a lot going wrong in his society. And the truth is, there is a lot going wrong in our society. The law doesn't always deal justly. And perhaps you are sitting in your home today or in your workplace and you are alarmed because of miscarriages of justice. You are alarmed because wicked people are being allowed to prosper. You are alarmed because the law isn't protecting the people who need to be protected. It's not helping the people who need to be helped. You're alarmed because of the way in which God's moral standards are being set aside in our society, and you see our land slipping down into oblivion, into a moral abyss, and that's what's happening all around us. That's what's happening, and you're alarmed. But what this psalm tells us to do is look above and beyond the House of Commons or the House of Lords, to look beyond the Constitution, to look beyond the Dáil Éireann or the Taoiseach or the Prime Minister, to look beyond presidents and kings and queens, to look beyond earthly judges. And this psalm tells us to look to the one who judges the judges, the one who judges the lawmakers. Let's gaze upon him today, the one who stands in the congregation of the mighty. And there is one thing I know: whatever God does, he does properly. Therefore, in verse 8, there is a prayer from the one who felt concerned at the state of his land. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And Asaph sees a God who's not only in charge of Israel, but a God who will inherit all nations. All nations must bow before him. We are told in the book of Philippians that one day every tongue will confess and every knee will bow, and the confessing tongues will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. There we see the judge of all the earth. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Everything that God does is right. What man does is not right, and nor can it be right, because man is a wretched creature, sinful creature, with a will that's bent away from God towards his own selfish aims and desires. But what God does will always be right. Therefore, you can trust him. And if you're alarmed because of what's going on in society, if you're alarmed because of some personal situation, you have a grievance, you look to God. Don't allow yourself to become bitter and twisted. That'll destroy you and it'll warp you. You look to God, the one who judges the judges. You look to him today. God is just. God has a perfect law. There is one place, however, where we see the perfect law of God exemplified more than any other, and that is Calvary. You see, God's justice required that sin should be dealt with, that sin should be punished. Whenever I see Jesus Christ coming into the world, I see one who was determined to die, and in dying to take upon himself the pain of our sin, to take upon himself the guilt of our sin. I need no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I am a wretched sinner and I deserve hell, but I'm glad I'm trusting not in Peter McIntyre, but in Jesus Christ, the one who lived and died for me and rose again for me. And one day he is coming again, and he will set up his judgment throne, and all will stand before him. And only those who are clothed in his righteousness, only those who are trusting him as Saviour, will be prepared in that day. And this psalm, yes, it reveals the justice of God at the cross, also reveals the justice of God at the end of time, when the dead, small and great, will stand before God. We need to be prepared for all of that, for that day when we will meet our Maker. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? If you were to meet your Maker today, would you be prepared? That is a solemn and a serious question. The judge of all the earth will come to set up his great courtroom, and there will be an accounting day. Are you in Christ? Are you prepared for that? I pray that you are and that you will be. I thank you for listening.